Open, if you will, to the Gospel of John. We'll continue our study this morning in John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. These passages aren't always the easiest. There's not a easy flow to things. It's not story-like. Not always the most interesting, but there's a lot of truth that's locked up as Jesus is confronting the Pharisees. And I want you to understand that's exactly what he's doing. This is not a friendly encounter with the leaders of the Jews. This is Christ confronting them with the truth of who he is. As we look at this passage today, I entitled this, How to Die in Your Sins. And it's kind of, you think about that. And what's the quick answer? What do we need to do to die in our sins? Nothing. We tend to make things into what we can do. We like the picture of the scale. We use the scales of justice. And we turn that into how God will judge us, our good works on one side, our bad works on the other, hoping that our good works are enough to overcome our bad works. But Jesus says, he who has not accepted me is condemned already. So, as Jesus is discussing everything that he's talking about with the scribes and Pharisees and with the people that are listening, the attention is upon him. And we being purveyors of God's sovereignty within this body, we tend to look at things more from the shadow of God being completely in charge of everything, which he is. But the Bible is also clear that man has a responsibility. And this morning we're going to look at a couple of ways that men works that they do that ensure that they will die in their sins. So let's look this morning, beginning in verse 21, where the Bible says, Then he, Jesus, said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, Surely he will not kill himself, will he, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And they were saying to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, What I have been saying to you from the beginning, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. And they did not realize that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing in my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Father, it's a sad state for mankind that when the Savior of the world was in our midst physically, for the rejection of him was so rampant. As the Savior of the world spoke truth, giving the way of salvation, and as men were blinded by themselves. Father, help us see this morning maybe ways that we can allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truths of who you are. Father, may we be committed to you and you alone. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as Jesus is still here, he's in the temple, he's proclaiming his truths, and he says to them in verse 21, "I go away and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. For where I am going, you cannot come." Jesus is standing in front of them. Many within the crowd want to grab him and kill him, but they're afraid because of the crowds. But they're unwilling to heed what he says. And this is one of the biggest areas to where men will find themselves dying in their sins, is in their own self-righteousness, not realizing that they need a Savior. Because we, in our self-righteousness, believe we can do everything. I mean, we need some extra money. We worked longer. We want our spouses to do something. We buy them flowers or candy or whatever. We want our boss to give us a raise. We suck up to him and work a little bit harder. We place everything within our own grasp, our own reaches. And the Jews, back during Jesus' time, they saw no need for Christ and the salvation that he was bringing. They saw themselves as fine in their own eyes. And, I mean, a lot of times I think the scribes and the Pharisees, the rest of the Jews, they get a bad rap. I mean, we think of them as horrible people. You know, here's Paul going around killing people for their witness of Christ. I mean, what a terrible guy. But I think, for the most part, they were sincere in their thinking. Most of them were probably like Nicodemus. As he comes to Jesus, he didn't come to Jesus in an agitated form. He didn't come making accusations. He came to Jesus questioning. Friendly, even. And just because somebody is nice, just because somebody is friendly, If they're unwilling to see their need for a Savior, they will die in their sins. That's one of the scariest things I know of. Little Miss Johnson down the street, who makes Christmas cookies and hands them out to the mailman, to the neighbors, to the landscapers that cut her grass. Sweet little Miss Johnson, without Christ, will die in her sins. And more than likely, she's looking at those gifts of Christmas cookies or the other things she does nice throughout the year as proof that she doesn't need anything else. She's a good enough person. And that's where these scribes and Pharisees found themselves. Look at the rich young ruler. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Do these three or four things from the Ten Commandments. Oh, I do that. I'm great. I meet the muster. Give away all that you have. Come and follow me. Man, that's a commitment that I don't think I can do just at this time. Verse 22, so the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. I mean, their question was, is he going to commit suicide? I mean, even though they wanted him dead, they weren't thinking in the areas that, oh, we're going to kill him. But to a Jew, according to the historian Josephus from this era, to the Jew, suicide was the worst thing that a Jew could do. That sealed a Jew's fate to oblivion. So they're saying, surely he's not going to kill himself, is he? What does he mean? Where I go, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. In their self-righteousness, they could not see Christ and the gift that he was giving. They could not understand that God had become man. And he was extending to them an eternal relationship with the God that they spent so much time scurrying around trying to win his favor by keeping the law. Jesus says, you are of this world. I am not of this world. Their concern was with the system of the world that they lived in. Their concern was how everything worked according to the world. So another way that they were sending themselves to hell was by living in this world. Not the earth, but the systems of the earth. They were concerned with their cattle, their sheep, their sacrifices, the incenses in the temple, the offerings that were being given, all the cumbrances of the daily life. I mean, God played second fiddle to the things of the world. We have a world full of people living within the system of this world today, who are on their way to dying in their sins. They're concerned with the wisdom of this world. They are looking at the claims of Christ in much the same way that the Pharisees were looking at them as Christ was telling them to them. You know, this is unbelievable. There's no way. Well, let me go take care of my stuff that I have to do, and maybe I'll come back and think about this later. The world gets in our way, even as believers. I know it gets in my way all the time. The encumbrances that are placed upon us, those encumbrances that are part of the curse back from Adam and Eve. We live within this world, but we're not to be of this world. Those without Christ, they live in this world and they are of this world. And they will die in their sins because of it. Verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Another thing that's sending people to hell, having them die in their sins, is a lack of belief in who Christ says He is. Again, he who believes has life. He who does not believe has been condemned already. Lord, the only way that we can change our fate from being condemned is in belief. And sometimes I think we get the concept of belief turned around. Belief in Christ is not like belief in Santa Claus. It's not a fictitious belief. It's not even an understanding that we have up here. I believe in Christ. Belief in Christ changes us. It transforms us. Paul says it makes us a new creation. These scribes and Pharisees, they did not want to believe. They did not want to change their ways. They did not want to see the truth. So they did not believe. Verse 25, "So they were saying to Him, 'Who are you?'" You know, again, what Jesus is talking to them about isn't the first time they've heard any of this stuff. We're 2.5 years into Christ's ministry. We're in the last 6 months of Him walking this earth. He has not given them any brand new revelation as to who He is. He's already described to them how He was born of Bethlehem, seed of David. His miracles prove that He is sent from the power of God. And they look and they say, "Who are you? Who do you think you are?" Jesus says, "What I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But He who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from Him, these I speak to the world." Those who are on their way to dying in their sins will not be influenced by God's Holy Spirit. They will not I hate to use this terminology, but they do not have an open mind concerning Christ and the things of God. They've already made up in their mind who God is. And that is a God of their creation. A God made after their own image. Who are you, Jesus? Verse 27. They did not realize that He'd been speaking to them about the Father. Their ears are closed. Their minds are not open. They don't understand what Christ is talking about. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things that the Father taught me." You see what Christ just did here? He predicted, prophesied, however you want to, what terminology you want to use. But He told them what they were going to do to Him. When you lift up the Son of Man, when you nail me to a tree, then you will know who I am. Sadly, for most, even that didn't do it. Even the 3 hours of darkness, even Christ crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Not even the barrier between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the temple, the veil that was torn in two from top to bottom, not even that convinced them of who He was. But He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. We can claim part of that verse. We who know Christ, we can say with utmost confidence that He who sent me is with me. He who has saved me is forever with me. We have a little harder time saying, "For I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." But with His power, we can. Through His power, Christ did always. Even in His argument to the Jews, Christ was perfect and sinless and above reproach in all ways. I have a hard time with that. I mean, it doesn't take much to set me off. I mean, I was making a delivery the other day. Went into this facility, put my stuff down. And this person, "That doesn't belong there." I wasn't feeling real great that night. I was tired. Came that close. Just to kind of going off. I don't think I would have gone off terribly, but Just the thought of it scared me. Where would you like it? Christ never had to... He never reacted in those ways. I'm sure he too was tempted. He was tempted in all ways, like we, yet without sin. And as they were nailing him to the cross, you know, as they were accusing him of things that he didn't do, as they were calling him a blasphemer, a son of Satan, spitting on him, beating him, whipping him, chiding him as he was trying to carry the weight of the cross up to Calvary. As they nailed his hands, as they nailed his feet, not one improper word, not one improper thought. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. That's why we can put our faith in him. Not just because he said who he was, although that should be enough, but because he lived out who he said he was. And as even today he stands at the right hand of God, interceding for us when we mess up, we can still cling to him. Well, I mean, what was the result? I mean, the Jews, their hearts kept getting harder and harder. Verse 30, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. There is hope in the message of the cross. There is hope in the message of this season, the incarnation of Christ. And there is power in the Spirit of God to open men's hearts and open their ears to who Christ is. Christian, we have one job. That is to proclaim the gospel. I can do a better job. You can do a better job. We all can do a better job. But we don't always do it because we're afraid of the rejection that we might receive. But they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Christ. And if they rejected Christ as he walked this earth, what should we expect? But every now and then, he allows us to see a miracle. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. As we enter this season, as we sing the beautiful Christmas songs, as we think of our friends and families that we'll gather together with this year, let's remember the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas that leads to the cross, that leads to the salvation of all mankind, should they only believe. Father, why does it seem Or why do we make things so difficult when it comes to salvation? Father, we sometimes have lists for people. Oh, you want Jesus? Well, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that. Father, the message of the cross is come as you are. And your Holy Spirit will change us from the inside out. Father, may we be faithful in proclaiming the message of the cross to a world that is dying. Lord, a world that is dying in their sins from their first breath on this planet. To a world that is dying by their actions of self-righteousness, living a worldly life, lack of belief. But Father, to your children, you have given the power for us to proclaim the word to all the world. May we be faithful, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.